And spring and summer are having a fight in Alaska this year. Or maybe it's summer and fall. I don't know. But I'd like to have a little bit of summer before we get into fall and then that long winter that we have. But God is so good, and He has brought us all to this house today and given us the strength to be here, given us the rest, or a few of us the rest, but we're still here. We're still here. And we have been talking about forgiveness, the power of forgiveness. We've talked about several different aspects of forgiveness. The first lesson was about who has the authority to forgive. Well, we found out in that lesson that God is the only one that really has authority to forgive. We think we forgive, but if we don't forgive with God's help, it usually doesn't stay gone. God is the only one that can help us with forgiveness. And then the lesson two was about going and sinning no more. When we are forgiven, we have the ability to totally walk away from what we were forgiven of. And so you say, well, what else is there to talk about in forgiveness? Well, we have two more lessons, so evidently there's something more to talk about when we're talking about forgiveness. But looking at unforgiveness, what does it do to us? I looked up a few things, and unforgiveness, medically, if we have unforgiveness, and I'm sure that there are a lot more things involved in harboring unforgiveness in our lives, but what I was able to quickly look up was that unforgiveness is linked to higher incidences of stress. Who needs stress? We have enough of it just dealing with life without keeping it around because we have unforgiveness in our lives. So we don't want any more stress. We don't need any more stress. Heart disease. That's not a good thing. High blood pressure. I know a lot of people that really, really struggle with high blood pressure. And they have that high blood pressure cuff out, that blood pressure cuff out all the time because they need to check all the time what's going on, and they have meds that they need to take. And they're told that they need to get rid of stress, and they need to quit doing that, and all of these things that cause this. But unforgiveness adds to all of these things. Lower immune response. That means you get sick more often. Bugs that go around in the community, you get them coming and going, and maybe in the middle too, you know. Lowered immune response, anxiety. You nervous, worry, anxiety is caused by unforgiveness. Depression. And then if I didn't name them all, or they didn't name them all, and this was a John Hopkins study, it says there that other health issues. I mean, let's just get it all out there. But the things that unforgiveness can create in our lives. And today our lesson is out of Matthew chapter 18. We'll be looking, the focus verses are 21 and 22, but we are looking at 21 through 35. In our lesson today, Peter is having a conversation with the Lord, and then it leads on to a story that Jesus tells. But in Matthew 18, 21 and 22, it says, Then came Peter unto him and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Till seven times? Seven's hard enough. And really, I think that I've heard that this is not seven different instances of forgiveness that Peter was referring to, is this one event, this one thing that you need to forgive. And Jesus said seven times. No, Peter said, oh, well, seven times. No. And Jesus said in verse 22, Jesus saith unto him, I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven. 490 times for the same offense. That's a lot. That's a lot. The icebreaker today. How would you describe forgiveness to someone who's never heard of it? Any thoughts? Sister Holly. Okay. Forgiveness is a choice that eventually your heart catches up to. Is that right? Okay. Any other thoughts about a description of forgiveness? A release of negative emotions. Thank you, Pastor. Brother Alex? Choosing to like somebody rather than hate them, yes. Brother Mark. Okay. Okay, so Brother Mark is saying to put a nail in the board and to forgive is to pull it out. All right? I like all of those. That's good. Are you good at bartering? No, I'm not either. I spent a little bit of time in the Middle East, and most everything is done on a barter, or at least a bargaining. And so in bartering, you're wheeling and dealing for a price. And my dad after my first my first try at it. And I told my dad how much I paid. And he said, don't go in there without me again. don't go shopping without me. Because I'm not any good at it. And he is really, really good at it. But bartering is something. And in the introduction into our lesson, that lesson connection, it talks about that Peter walked into a store and saw Jesus standing behind the counter. Mercy was on every shelf, and on the counter, and on the racks, and in the windows. Mercy was everywhere in the shop. But Peter knew Jesus. He knew how much Jesus valued mercy. So rather than insult Jesus by asking to pay less for it, he offered Jesus above the asking price. The rabbis down the street were selling mercy for $3 a day. They taught, if a brother sins against you, God calls you to forgive him 3 times. Even that would be hard. After that, you're off the hook. But Peter knew Jesus was more merciful than most. In fact, he was more merciful than anyone. Peter opened up his wallet and pulled out 3 bills. That's what it would have cost him down the street. And then 3 more. And 1 more for good measure. And offered Jesus well above the asking price. Jesus, if my brother sins against me, how many times should I forgive him? Up to 7 times? Is that how much mercy I need? You want me to be merciful, Jesus? Can do. I can do that. Seven times seems mighty merciful to Peter, especially since he's going to rate, the going rate was 3. Jesus took a glance at mercy all throughout the shop and replied, not 7. 70 times 7. Jesus told the story. And in the lesson, Jesus talks about a king that comes and he's making an accounting of what's owed him. And he goes out to collect. And I guess if you were trying to really settle accounts, you'd start at the biggest one, right? Well, that's what this king did. He went to a servant or a man that owed him all of this money. It was 10,000 talents. Now, I don't really remember the value, or it's not necessarily important to know the value of a talent, but 10,000 of them, according to what I had looked at, is that that was more than a man could ever pay back in his life. A lifetime of work would have never paid back that debt. And the king said, I want it, and I want it now. And what would you do? If God said, I want it, and I want it now. A man came to you, I want it, and I want it now. Well, this man fell on his knees and begged, and begged, and begged, and begged for forgiveness. Master, forgive me. I know I owe you all of this. I have no way to pay this. Forgive me of this debt. And the king was so merciful. And he said, okay, the debt's gone. Don't worry about it. I forgive you. I forgive you everything that you could never pay back. I forgive you. And if you read on down in the story, that man, the man that had been forgiven so much, went to another man that owed him this much, just a little bit. Didn't owe him much at all. And said, I want it now. And the man did exactly what the first one had done. Fell on his knees and begged. I can't. I don't have it right now. Now this much, it would have taken him just a little while to get it. Just give me a little bit of time. The first man couldn't even say that. As it would have never been forgiven. But the second man needed just a little bit of time. And what did that man do? He came and he grabbed him by the front of his shirt and said, you pay me now! It's not a very good reaction. It's not very merciful. And the other servants around, the other people around, saw what this man was doing. And they went to the king because they knew. Word spreads fast. They knew how much he had been forgiven. They knew that he owed the king a lifetime of money. And he'd been forgiven. And he goes to this other man, and he's ready to just wring his neck for a little bit, because he could not forgive. He had no mercy. But think of this. How would you respond if you were forgiven a debt you knew you could not pay? I have a debt that I cannot pay. And you go to them, you make a phone call, and you say, you know what, I'm not going to be able to pay this. And that debt is forgiven. Don't worry about it. It's okay. I don't want it. How would we react to that? Certainly not like this man reacted. He was so thankful that the king had forgiven him. But his real feelings and his real thoughts about it came out when he went to another man, a fellow servant, and said, I want it now. God is giving us in this picture a snapshot of what he has done for us. He has been able to let go. When we ask him, he lets go of all that we have done. All of the sin in our life is forgiven when we come to him and ask for his forgiveness and follow through with his instructions in salvation. And we could think, I'm a pretty good person. I don't really know. I don't think I have that much to forgive. Now others could say, "Oh, I have so much. I have so much to forgive." It depends on the life. It depends on the person. But it doesn't matter if we feel that it's this much or this much. It can only be forgiven by the Lord. And when you look at the effect of unforgiveness, it doesn't matter if it's this much or this much. The effect, it still has to go away. It still needs to go away for us to move on in life. Our debt of sin is so huge, even if we don't think it is. We could never, ever repay the debt we owe. Sin from God's perspective is just sin. He doesn't classify sin like we do. You can read many lists in Scripture about the things that God abhors, the things that mankind shouldn't do. And we read them and we say, oh, well, that one's not so bad, but oh, that's horrible. And in Revelation, the last one listed in the end of Revelation is all liars. Well, in our society, that's a nothing. That doesn't even count. And if lying is, you just look at lying, we have classifications of lies. Oh, that's just a baby one. That's not important. Oh, that's a white lie. Oh, that's a horrible lie. And others would say, oh, just a lie. And that's that in so many of our minds, a lie could be a nothing sin compared to the list. But in God's arrangement of classifications, which there really aren't any, of sin, you have a lie in one hand, and you have a serial murderer in another hand. And it doesn't make any difference to God. Whereas in our minds, in forgiveness, we may be able to forgive this lie. But we want this serial murderer to pay. And pay and pay and pay. Because of what they have done. Because forgiveness isn't an easy thing. We want it. When I have done something wrong, or you could say when you have done something wrong to yourself, you could say, when I have done something wrong, I want the person that I have wronged to forgive me. As these two men who fell on their knees and begged for the debt to be forgiven. And the king forgave the one, and he couldn't forgive his fellow servant. We want it. But Jesus is letting us know that we need to give it. And we need to give it, well, for the reasons that we talked about, that help us physically and emotionally and mentally, we need to forgive. But more importantly than that, we need to forgive because we've been forgiven. And if we do not forgive, if we read a little bit further in this story, the servant that went to his fellow servant who owed him just a little bit of money, the king found out. Whoa. And he went to him and said, "What is going on? I just forgave you more than you could have ever paid me. And you want him thrown in prison because of this much?" And the king took that first man and And he had him thrown into prison. And you're going to stay there until you pay me every penny. Well, first off, what are you going to earn in prison? Not much. I do understand that if you're incarcerated, you have the ability to earn money. But it's half of pennies on a dollar of what you could earn outside of prison. But you do have a little bit, and you can earn a little bit. But what he owed in the first place, he could have never paid in a lifetime. And everybody in this situation, this story, knew that that man would die in prison because he would have never been able to pay it. An unforgiving spirit. It will kill us. It's a whole lot more than heart issues, high blood pressure, anxiety. It's so much more than that. When we do not give mercy or offer forgiveness for the situations that end up happening in our lives. When Jesus was teaching his disciples to pray, what did he say? Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those . So God's forgiveness was contingent upon our ability to forgive. If we really want His forgiveness, I can't imagine anyone sitting here doesn't want His forgiveness. But if we will receive His forgiveness, we have to be able to forgive. When we celebrate communion, one thing that we are asked to do, yes, Lord, forgive us. We ask the Lord to forgive us and clean our hearts and clean our lives. That's in every communion service I've ever been a part of, that's a prerequisite. Sometimes you're advised to do it before you come to the service. Make sure you deal with things before you come. Because it's so important to have a clean heart before you take communion. But then the scripture says that if you have a problem, King James uses the word ought. If you have ought against your brother, then get up from your own confessions at the altar and go find that person and ask for forgiveness. Even harder than asking for forgiveness is going to someone that you have a problem with and saying, I forgive you, it's okay. I forgive you. That deals with forgiveness in a situation where the other person isn't willing to ask for it. And in some of the other two lessons that we talked about on forgiveness, it's been said that if we don't forgive the person that did wrong against us, who's enslaved? We are. We are the ones that struggle, and we didn't cause it. But we're suffering. And that unforgiveness in our lives is what leads to the struggle. And if we cannot forgive, we can't be forgiven. God wants to forgive us. He came for that purpose. He came and lived and died and rose again to give us the forgiveness that we needed in our lives. And He asks us to participate in that process, to step through those things that we need to do. Ask for our forgiveness. And then get baptized in the name of Jesus Christ to wash it away. And that applies His name to our life. And then He wants to fill us with the Holy Ghost so that we have all of the abilities that He offers us. Acts talks about that He gives us power. We have relationship with Him. The Holy Ghost is the earnest, the down payment on our salvation. It's a little bit of heaven right here on earth, and He wants us to live in it. He wants us to rest in it. And none of that happens without forgiveness. So, what do you think about the king's decision when he went back to the first servant and said, you can't do that, and threw him in prison? Sister Phoebe, well, there you go. Mm-hmm. It's tough. Forgiveness is not easy. Now, like I said, in our sin classified world that we have, the classifications of sin that we have grown up learning and understanding about how that we, in our carnal minds, think about sin. And that there are things that are easy to forgive and there are things that are not easy to forgive. Those easy ones are just not that hard to deal with. And we could be facing a situation of forgiveness that is so much different than that simple lie, or even a horrible lie, compounded lie. Because there are things that happen to us or could happen to us in this life that we live that are horrific. There is abuse that happens. But in this lesson, it's talking about that it doesn't matter what it is. We need to forgive. How easy do you think it is at the end of a trial to be the family of the person that was hurt or murdered? And the person that did it is right there. And they're convicted. And after the sentencing, you're given a chance to say something. Are you going to say, "I am so glad that you're going away for the rest of your life and I never want to see you again and I will never forgive you"? Now that person has to live with that. And there's a consequence that they're going to live with. Possibly for the rest of their life. But that may be the last time you ever see that person. And so it's in our ball court. If that was me, it's in my ball court of what am I going to offer them before they're taken away. If I offer them what I just said, I am going to be enslaved to that for the rest of my life. Because I can't offer forgiveness. And so the rest of my life, I have that weighing on me. And the hate and the what becomes bitterness will not go away because I could not forgive them. But. You know what they did. And so we say, we justify, but. But if we don't forgive, we can't be forgiven. And if we're not forgiven, then our life is on a downward spiral. And according to what I've read in Scripture, heaven will not be our home if we are not forgiven. So we need the forgiveness. So where does the 70 times 7 come in there? Well, I think it comes in right here in this situation. Maybe you have had a situation in your life that was really hard to forgive. But with the grace of God, you managed it for this long. And then a circumstance happens and it all comes back. And you have to, one more time. God, let me let go of this. I need to let go of this. And it's gone for a little while. And then another situation happens. And it all comes back. And you got to say, "I forgive." One more time, I have to say, we would have to say, "I forgive it. I don't want to know. I don't want to be paid back. You don't owe me anything." But there are situations where they continually come back. And the hardest person to forgive is right here. God forgives us. But we don't always forgive ourselves. A memory will come up and it just makes us feel horrible. God, I didn't mean to do that. Do what? Do what, God says? Because he forgot. Well, what do you mean he forgot? Well, we can remember because it's stuck in our head. But when we have asked his forgiveness and we are covered with his blood in baptism, you know why he can't remember it? Is because when he sees us, the first thing he sees is the blood of Christ that has forgiven and pushed it away into the depths of the sea as far as the east is from the west. That's how far our sins are gone now. And he wants us to be able to do the same for those that trespass against us, those that cause us difficulty, those that have hurt us in the past. We need to forgive. And not just like the rabbis did just three times. That then you're done. You don't have to. You can hate them after that. No. Peter, well, I'll be really good, Jesus, and I'll forgive him. How about seven times? That's double plus one. And can you imagine Peter's face when Jesus said, nope. 70 times seven. How can we do that? I'll tell you how we can do it. We can do it with his help. With his help, he can help us with forgiveness. And it is a cleansing to us. It is a renewal to us to forgive. And it affects every single part of our lives. We're getting ready for worship today. Let's give everything we have in worship to him. And by the way, happy Father's Day.